Let's take our Bibles this morning and stand with me as we give honor to the reading of God's Word in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 31. In fact, that'll be the only verse we read while we're standing. Hebrews 11, 31. We are continuing our study on radical faith today. Follow along as I read. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. By faith, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we now focus our attention this morning on the Word of God. Lord, we pray that we would take this moment very seriously as we have thus far in the service. And Lord, I pray that right now in Jesus' name, you would open the understanding of every person that's here, that we might understand your truth and know how to apply it. Father, we thank you for those that are here today. Whatever work needs to be done in the hearts of your servants here before you today, Father God, please do so, that we might be transformed into the likeness of our Lord and Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Keep your Bibles open. But now I want you to go to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. In order to understand Hebrews 11:31, we need to go back to Joshua chapter 2. After such an exciting week of revival, raise your hand if you got a blessing this week in revival. What an awesome and anointed time we had as the Holy Spirit truly moved on us in a great way. I wondered if the Holy Spirit would redirect our study today. We've been in Hebrews for quite some time. We've been in Hebrews chapter 11 for quite some time as we have been exploring radical faith. And I thought perhaps we might do something different today. But throughout the week, I heard many who talked about God giving them a new beginning this week at revival. We saw people saved this week at revival, coming to Christ and surrendering their hearts and their lives to Him. But we also saw some Christians who came to new levels of faith in their walk with Christ. And they too talked about how this past week was going to be a new beginning. And I thought perhaps God would change the message, but then I looked at the next person in the list of the Hall of Faith, and it's none other than Rahab the harlot, a woman who encountered the gracious and merciful God of Israel many centuries ago, and whose life changed radically after she met the God of the Hebrew people. If anyone had a new beginning, it was Rahab the harlot. Now, we don't have a lot of verses about her life, but what we do have demonstrates the amazing power of God in the life of one who simply believes. In fact, I almost entitled this message, "The Faith of Rahab, Faith for Overcoming the Past," because Rahab had a past far darker than many that are seated in this place today. Yet God brought her out of a wicked life. He brought her into a rich and glorious life of faith. And I got to thinking about that. Over my years of ministry, I have had many encounters and have even, I have to say, been one of those individuals myself that struggle sometimes a little bit with getting over my past. How many of you still remember sins you committed years ago? Raise your hand. Put your hand down. How many of you are still bothered at times by sins you committed years ago? Raise your hand. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have been forgiven for those sins, and you know it in your heart you've been forgiven? Raise your hand. So here's the next question. Why does it still bother you? Why does it still bother you? Why do our past sins still trouble us in such a great way as to sometimes hinder us in our walk of faith? Today, I want to look at faith for overcoming the past, faith for a new beginning, faith that allows us to take the hand of God and move in a direction we've never gone before. I want us to look at Rahab's life. I want us to look at Rahab's transformation today. In fact, I want us to look at five things in the life of Rahab, 5 points today that I want you to take home, because I want you to go home today free of that guilt, free of that bother that you say you have, that troublesome thing that comes to your heart when you think about your sins. five main points from her life today. Let's begin with the first one, and that is simply this. In the story of Rahab, we see a very sinful past. We see a very sinful past. Joshua 2:1 says, "So they went and entered into the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there." Rahab was a sinful woman living among sinful people who were under the condemnation of God. Rahab had numerous strikes against her. Number one, she was not Jewish. Number two, she was a woman. And in those days, women were not treated with the respect they are today. They didn't have the education. They didn't have all the things that we accredit them with today. They were often used simply as nothing more than property. But third and worst, she was a prostitute. Now, that was the profession in those days that was like it is today. It was a dishonorable profession. It was a wicked profession. Rahab truthfully had a sinful past. However, we have to admit that her condition was the same as that of all humanity. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." How many have sinned, church? All. Say it one more time. Say, "I have sinned." Okay, now that's your confession for today, okay? And you should now be able to move right beyond that. That is your confession. We all have a past. Some of us have a darker past than others, but one thing we know for sure is that when we're born into this world, we are under the curse of sin and therefore objects of God's wrath. Now, as I said a moment ago, one of the problems I run into a lot with Christians is that after we come to Christ, sometimes we have difficulty moving beyond our past. The things we did before we came to Christ come to haunt us. And to be honest, and I'll have to tell you this, I was saved when I was 17 years old. So it's not so much, listen, I can't remember things from last week, much less before I was 17 years old. So it's not so much the sins before I was saved that bother me. It's the sins I've committed since I've come to know Christ. That's what comes back to haunt me. You say, "Well, Pastor, didn't you ask forgiveness?" Yes, I did. Then aren't you forgiven? Yes, I am. But still, we battle with that enemy that is called in the Bible the accuser of the brethren, and we struggle with our sinful past. Now, this is not on the screen, what I'm about to share with you, but I want to show you three dangers, and I would encourage you to write these down. Three dangers that come when we fail to move on from our sinful past. When we fail to embrace God's forgiveness and God's love. When we fail to realize on a day-to-day basis, I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I am born again, I am God's new creation. When we fail to reconcile that and recognize that every day, three things can happen. First of all, when a Christian cannot move beyond his or her past, it keeps that person in a state of mental and emotional defeat. It will keep you in a state of mental and emotional defeat. You just can't get past that feeling of being unworthy. Secondly, it will keep you in a state of guilt. It will keep you in a state of guilt. You just can't embrace the fact that you are forgiven. Now, you all said a moment ago, I have sinned. Now I want you to say this with me loud and clear. But don't say this if you've never been saved. But I want you to say this loud and clear. I am forgiven. Say it one more time. You believe that? Say amen. You ought to be the happiest people on the face of this earth. Why? Because you're what? You are forgiven. Very good. Now, it keeps us in a mental and emotional state of defeat. It keeps us in a state of guilt. But here's the worst part. And if you didn't write the first two down, because, you know, I used to be a school teacher, and when I would say write this down, I have this English teacher eye. I can tell which one of you didn't write it down. I can tell. And I used to call students down and say, "George, are you writing this down? Billy, are you writing this down? Write this one down." All right, here it is. It will keep you from being effective in the Lord's service. It will prevent you from being effective in the Lord's service when you fail to reconcile the fact that you have been forgiven. Listen, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear it loud and clear. When God forgives, He forgives thoroughly. What's wrong with y'all this morning? When He forgives thoroughly, completely. When the voice of accusation comes into the mind of the believer, reminding him or her about the past, this is not the voice of God. We must remember that we're all in the same boat. All have sinned. But there's hope, because secondly, in the story of rehab, we see a second point, and that is an amazing deliverance. An amazing deliverance. And I want you to note the steps in her deliverance. Again, these are not on the screen, but note the steps in her deliverance. If you look at Joshua 2, verse 8, we see these words. Rahab speaks these words. She says, "I know that the Lord has given this land into your this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you." Her first step in her deliverance was a fearful recognition of coming judgment. A fearful recognition of coming judgment. We have been taught from Scripture that there is a day of reckoning coming. And for those who don't know Jesus, there is a day of wrath coming. There is a day of judgment coming when all their sins will be laid open before all to see. And they will be judged according to everything they have ever said, everything they have ever done, everything they have ever thought. Aren't you glad you're under the blood of Jesus? Because you don't have to worry about that. We find that there was, first of all, a fearful recognition of coming judgment. But secondly, look at verse 11, the latter part of verse 11. It says that for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Not only was there a fearful recognition of coming judgment, but there was a confession of God. How did she know this? They didn't have Baptist churches in Jericho. There was no such thing as the First Baptist Church of Jericho. They didn't have Sunday school teachers. What had happened? Well, let me ask you again, what was her profession? She was a prostitute. That means that men coming in through the city, salesmen, travelers coming in, would stop and spend time with Rahab. And she would hear stories that these men had encountered about this Hebrew people and their God who could part the Red Sea. And word was spreading everywhere. And Rahab began to think about that. And she began to realize, if there is a God who can part the waters of the Red Sea, He must really be God. You see, Jericho was a place of many gods. The Canaanites worshipped many, many gods, just like we do sometimes today. And so we find that this lady began to realize, wait a minute, I've never seen one of my gods do anything like that. The God of the Hebrew people must be the real God. And when she encounters these spies and she takes them in, she says, "I know that the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below." You cannot be delivered unless you recognize who God is and recognize that He is the only one who can save you. Third, not only was there a fearful recognition of coming judgment, a confession of God, but third, there was a request to be saved. There was a request to be saved. Listen to what she says in Joshua 2, 12 through 13. She says, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family." And then later in that verse, she says, "and that you will save us from death." Salvation comes for the asking. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to be good enough to get it. You just have to surrender your heart to the Lord and recognize His ability and His ability alone to save you. But fourth, not only was there a fearful recognition of judgment, a confession of God, and a request to be saved, but there was an obedient act of faith. There was an obedient act of faith. The spies told Rahab, if when the Israelite army comes through, if you will hang this scarlet cord out of the very window through which you are helping us escape, our soldiers will pass by you. They will pass around you. They will pass over you. And you and anyone who is in the household with you will be saved. Now, we know something, and this is very important. We know that if she followed these instructions, she would be saved from destruction. And verse 21 indicates that she did as she was told. It says in verse 21, "and she tied the scarlet cord in the window." We're going to come back to the scarlet cord in a moment, but I want you to look at something else, another point in this story, a third point, because this story really starts to get much better here. We now see in the story of Rahab a new beginning. A new beginning. And I want you to note four things about this new beginning. Think about it. Now, how many of you can say, "I have a new beginning in Christ"? Say amen. I found that new beginning, and I got news for you. For the Christian who stumbles and falls, there's a new beginning every morning. The Bible says His mercies are new. How often? Every morning. Every morning. I want you to notice four things. Now, this story is amazing, and folks, I don't want you to miss it. Nudge the person next to you if they're nodding off, all right? Because I don't want them to miss this. Listen carefully. When we first meet Rahab, she's a prostitute, all right? And she is under condemnation with the rest of her people because of her sinfulness, all right? Just because she is not one of God's children. When we see her a little bit later, she has a place of prominence that we'll talk about. But when we talk about her in the New Testament, she is listed in the Hall of Faith as a woman who demonstrated tremendous and amazing faith. She is listed in James, the book of James, with alongside Abraham. Now, let's fathom that for just a moment and get excited with me. It's okay. You're Baptist, but you can get excited, right? Are you? Hallelujah, preacher. I'm so excited to be here. Yeah, I can tell you are. Who is Abraham? He is the patriarch. He is the father of the Hebrew people, right? It was credited to him as righteousness when he believed God, that God was going to give him a child in his old age. And there is Abraham, this holy, righteous man of God. And then there on the other end of the spectrum is this harlot, this prostitute, this woman who sells her body to men for financial gain. And there she is. But because of the grace and mercy of God in the book of James, she is listed right alongside of Abraham. That blows my mind. How can God take someone like a harlot, someone whose life has been so vile and filled with sin, how can He take that person and dare to put her in a list right beside of Abraham? It's because at the cross, listen church, don't miss this, it's because at the cross we are all equal. There's no one of us better or holier than another. Listen, whether you're a prostitute or whether you just tell little white lies or whether you cheat God out of His tithe, it doesn't matter. Sin is sin before God. He is so holy that even the slightest sin that we would count as slight is offensive to Him. So in the cross of Jesus, we reach level ground with our brothers and our sisters. So let's notice these four things about Rahab. First of all, she was given a place among God's people. You don't have to go there, but if you'll flip over, Joshua 6:25, we read these words. Joshua 6:25. Take a look. That's a verse you might even want to underline because it really touches my heart to read this verse. Joshua 6:25. She was given a place among the people of God. Look what it says. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. I would like to submit to you that verse still stands true. She still lives among God's people to this day. Rahab died a long time ago, but she to this day is in the presence of God. Listen, when she came to God, when she confessed to God, she forsook the old life. She gained a new identity, and now she is one of the children of God. Now, the Bible tells us that later she married an Israelite man. We would like to think that it was one of the spies. Wouldn't that make a great Monday night movie? They still have Monday night movies? They used to be Monday night movies. Wouldn't that make a great love story? That one of the spies, we don't know, actually Jewish tradition says that she did marry one of the spies. We just don't have that in Scripture. But not only was she given a place among the people of God, but she became ancestress to Israel's greatest earthly king. The Bible tells us that this prostitute was the great-great-grandmother of King David, Israel's greatest earthly king. But it gets better. When you go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, don't go there, but when you go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, we find out also that she is placed in the lineage of Christ. She was an ancestress of the very Messiah. How can God take a harlot and use her to bring forth the seed of the Messiah that would save all the world from their sins? Have you ever stopped to think that of all the people in Jericho that were residents of Jericho, the only one that made it was a prostitute? In her family, that was it. There were probably people in there that were more moral than she was. Businessmen who were good, faithful, trustworthy men, but they died. Why? Because they did not put their trust in the God of Israel. In Hebrews 11:31, she is named among those who demonstrated a heroic faith. What's the point? Listen, I want you to hear this. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are told that if anyone is in Christ, what is he? A new what? a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If any woman is in Christ, she is a new creation. If any child is in Christ, that child is a new creation. We saw people saved this week. They are a new creation. If you have come to Jesus for your sins to be covered by the blood, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Isn't that great? Notify your mouth. Notify your face. That is wonderful, amazing truth that will stand for all eternity. Rahab walked away from her citizenship in Jericho. You see, we want to be saved. We want to belong to Jesus, but we also want to cling to this world. You can't do that. She walked away from Jericho. She realized now there's nothing in Jericho but ruin. Look at our world around us. Ruin, sin, moral decadence. It's a horrible place in many places. You come into the house of God, and you hear truth of God's word, and you begin to realize how much in contrast the truth and holiness of God is with the world. So she walked away from all of that, and she took her God-given place among God's people, and in many ways became a princess among the Israelites. But this leads us to a fourth point. In the story of Rahab, we see a message of hope. We see a message of hope. This message is threefold. Again, the 3 points will not, well, they might be. I think they are. Yes, they are. Right there, I didn't want you to miss these. Number one, no one is beyond the reach of God's grace. Say hallelujah to that if you want to. No one is beyond the reach of God's grace. What we learn from Rahab is that it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you are. When you come to Jesus, you are cleansed. You are not beyond His reach. Secondly, God sees our potential in spite of our past. See, you don't have to cling to the past and realize, you know, I was such a failure. I was such a sinner that I'm not worthy to do anything. Yes, we have to maintain that humility, that we recognize our unworthiness, but we also must recognize that in Christ we are made righteous, that we are made holy in Christ. And third, we learn that salvation is possible only through the blood of Jesus. You say, Pastor, where do you see that? Well, we see that in the scarlet cord. When the Israelite spies left, they said, hang this in the window, and then when we come through, we will let you live. What does that remind you of? Go back in time. Reminds you of the Passover. When God told Moses, the death angel is coming, and if you will apply the blood of an innocent lamb to the doorpost, you will be spared. You will be saved. And the death angel will pass over you. Well, you see, the scarlet cord symbolized that very thing. And then in the New Testament, we are told unequivocally that this refers to a foreshadowing of the work of Christ on the cross. All who come to Jesus are spared the destruction that sin brings. There's a hymn there that you'll see. I just got a part of it there. There's a song that Fanny Crosby wrote, and I love these words. It says, oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Isn't that great? That's wonderful truth. But we still have one question that plagues us today. One last point in our message today, and it is a question. How can we overcome our sinful past? How can we overcome the guilt? You say, well, Pastor, I'm saved, and I know that I'm not going to have to answer for that. Yes, but here's the issue. Remember, we talked about it a moment ago. Sometimes we still live with the guilt of sins forgiven. What's plaguing you today, right now? What is it that haunts you? What is it that keeps you from being effective in the service of God because of what you were? What keeps you from being aware fully of who you are in Christ? Well, I'm going to give you just 5 very simple things. I'm going to give them to you quick, okay? But I would challenge you to jot these down, because these are steps that we find that will help us overcome the past. First of all, we must trust in God's forgiveness. We must trust in God's forgiveness. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins. You finish that. Say it again. I will remember their sins no more. Listen, if God has forgiven you, who are you to not forgive yourself? You have to forgive yourself. That's the second point. You have to forgive yourself. Number 2, forgive yourself. You've got to be willing to say, I am forgiven. God has set me free from my past. Yes, I have a past. Yes, I have sin in my past, but I am forgiven. You've got to forgive yourselves. All right? You've got to be willing to look at your own heart and recognize, yes, I'm a sinner, but hallelujah, we have a righteous and a holy God who loves us beyond human understanding, and He is going to love us right into His presence. Forgive yourself. Here's a tough one. Number three, you have to forgive one another. You have to forgive one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. I've seen a tragedy in church life, and that is this. We have a hard time forgiving one another. And listen, we hold people's past against them. Did y'all know that? That in some churches they do that. Did y'all know that? Not this one. Not Penelope Baptist Church, but in some churches they do that. They will hold your past against you. And I guarantee you, if I told you right now that I had three individuals that were going to come up and tell you their horrible, horrible past, oh, you'd wake up in a minute. We like the dirt, don't we? We like the dirt. We enjoy the dirt. Yes, you would. Some of you perked up just on the hope that I might be actually getting ready to do that. Let me just put you back to sleep. I'm not. And I'm not going to tell you mine. Because guess what? Your pastor's a sinner. He is. He was. I'm forgiven, but I'm not perfect. We must forgive one another. Forgive your husband. Forgive your wife. Forgive your children. Forgive your brother, your sister. Let it go. Just let it go. Number four, we must forget what is behind. We must forget what is behind. Paul in Philippians says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul was a horrible sinner. He did horrible things to the people of God. And yet notice that God used him in a mighty and an awesome way. And Paul remembered what he did, but he said, as far as it having a hold on me, I have to forget what is behind, and I have to press toward what is ahead. What is ahead, folks? Say it. Heaven. You want to go to heaven? I was envious this week, Connie, of your dad. I was. Dot, I want to go see him because I know he's in the presence of Jesus. And this might sound strange, but I've been in ministry for almost 30 years. I know I don't look that old. I know. But I've been in this work for almost 30 years, and I have just grown to where I envy Christians when they're at that moment, when they are about to behold the face of Jesus. We press toward that goal. Don't let the past hold you. But number five, this is so important, we must give all the glory to God. We must give all the glory to God. I've got Romans 3, 23 and 24 on the screen again for you. If you'll just take a look at that and we're done almost with the sermon we are. It says, for all have sinned. We read that a moment ago. I read that to you a moment ago. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But notice verse 24 says, and are justified freely by His grace. Woo. Go ahead. What are you holding back for? Justified freely. That means I didn't have to do the work to get myself saved. That means I didn't have to be good enough. I didn't. I didn't have to be good looking enough. I didn't have to be smart enough. I am justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Who gets all the glory for our salvation? Christ Jesus. Say it louder. Who gets all the glory for our salvation? I want you to look at the next string. Let's do this, guys. I wanted to end the service a little bit differently today. There's a song. I gave you part of that verse a while ago. And it's going to appear on the screen right now. And I want you, we're not even going to use music. Folks, I don't want this message to get far from your hearts ever. There's nothing, we are hopeless without Jesus Christ. We are hopeless. And you all know this song. And I want you to sing it. And I want you to sing it for the Lord. Will you do that with me? Let's stand, bow our heads. If there's anyone here today who is struggling because the devil won't let you forget your past, as the piano plays, as the musicians play, I want to open this altar. If you need to come and pray with me, let's come. But I invite you to surrender your past to the Lord. Surrender it to Him. Let's pray together, and as the music plays,